I feel like this is a continuation of our conversation last month, if y'all was here with us, where we were talking about friendships. But this time we're just talking about in general when you're healing, but other people aren't, the other people around you. Now that could be friendships, that could be romantic partners, people at work, hell. Like family, I think that's a big, that was a big one for me. Family, friendships. And romantic partners. I think those are the big three for me. But yeah, when you're healing, but others aren't. So what comes up for y'all when y'all think about that? Like what's probably, because I feel like we always have these like maybe top like one or two relationships that have tried us over time that we've like been healing and growing, you know, and the other person wasn't.
Honest friendships, like, and it was to the point where I wouldn't let go of the friendship because I'm like, okay, I'm healing. I know I can bring you along. I know I can help you heal. Like, you just, you know, I wanted more than them, but it came to the point it was like, all right, girl, you gotta let it go. And that's when I learned the point of it all. Also, was those friendships no longer served me, and I had to be okay with it. You have to learn how to be okay with knowing you can't hold on to some people forever. They're only there for seasons, and you heal like a season. Just like seasons change, you change, and sometimes your people around you change right along with it.
So speaking of that, like in those types of friendships, like what were signs that you had that like helped you to see? It was like, oh, okay, there's some degrees of separation here, or like, you know, where did you see that happen?
It would be plenty of red flags, honestly. Like, I would go harder for them. Like, I would support them, let me say it like that. I would support them in every realm or whatever they were doing. Like, what's the joke that we on Facebook? Like, if my friend was selling coochie for $40, I was gonna promote my friend. Like, hey, it's $40. Come get it. But yeah, I could be doing something very minuscule and they would never support me. They always had an excuse why they couldn't come, show up. And any other time I just ignored the red flags, and it really always came down to the point of I would get so hurt that it was no, I had no other choice but to just leave it alone.
Well, that's real. And I think with my friendships, I would definitely say the same thing. It was like subtle signs. Like I started realizing like I would become kind of a little passive aggressive because I think the out like what I felt like I was putting into the relationship wasn't being received. And I'm sure there was it's vice versa too in some relationships that I've had over the years as well. But it started definitely feeling like very misaligned and just felt like, yeah, like it wasn't reciprocated, you know, and I think that passive aggressiveness came from just the resentment of feeling like almost like you're carrying the relationship, you know, you feel like you're the one that's always reaching out or, you know, things like that. And then also wanting to share, I think there was resentment from wanting to say like, hey, I just learned this like thing that like changed my life, whether, you know, reframe something, you know, an experience or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's like, I want to share that with you because, like, hey, we've both had these problems. Like, here's a solution. And then it's like the person doesn't want the advice. Like, they don't want it. And I think I used to kind of like feel a little resentful because it's like, so you just want to stay in your problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's like rather than seeing it as, hey, everybody's on their own journey. We're all unfolding at different levels, at different times, like different phases of our journey. And just because you're experiencing that and you found that like this amazing solution does not mean it's going to resonate for the next person, right? So I think I had to really like learn that and get okay with like saying, I guess finding the boundary for like wanting to share what I learned, but then also like allowing someone to show up exactly how they're showing up, and rather than trying to change them with what I've learned, just saying, hey, I came across this. It helped me. Maybe it could help you, but not like making that like you should do this type of thing. You know, because I think that's very common in especially close friendships where you're like, girl, you need to do this, right? Like,
Yeah.
I think it's very common for us to be like, okay, like, listen, solution. And we kind of take it personally a little bit if they don't, you know, if they don't take that as advice or guidance.
When you're in close friendship, you do take a lot of things personally. I had to learn, you have to learn how to not take everything so personal. But at the same time, when you're healing and they're not, it's just like it's nothing else you can do about it but go your separate ways or take your feelings completely out of it. Because a lot of the times, a lot of things we go through is literally us getting our feelings about something because somebody else is not understanding what we're trying to say. We can't force people to understand what we're trying to say because y'all on two different levels. No one in no lifetime is ever on the same level at all times.
That's true. And I know, like, for me, I used to feel like I would almost like get in these stages of feeling like it was all or nothing. Like I did not have boundaries because it would be like, oh, okay, well, either we're doing all the things together, or it, like we're not doing anything together. And like, I was very toxic, y'all. But I think that played a part in just like, again, being able to recognize that and respect, right? Like, 'cause I'm sure there's times in those re same relationships where people were like, girl, the obvious answer is right here. Like, why are you self-sabotaging or, you know, whatever the case may be. And yet here I was still repeating the same lesson. Oh girl, yeah, me and him are good now. Like, I'm sure there was plenty of times. So, you know, it's just like being able to like recognize, I think, like signs of when you're growing and when there's something like that we're just kind of taking personal, you know, like, 'cause there is a difference. And I think there's that fine line that kind of I think with people sometimes when we're on this healing journey, and especially like I feel like that's like my life is just constantly healing and evolving, that we get in this space of sometimes like feeling like other people are, well, I don't know where I was gonna go with that, honestly. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know. I lost it, but
It was there.
it was there. It was there for a moment.
I will say this, right? Because I kind of had a similar incident with an old friend of mine. Like, he had certain goals that he wanted to meet and he wanted my help. But every time I would offer my assistance, he would play around with my time and effort that I put into helping him evolve. And so the one thing I had to learn is everybody has a position to play in their life. And the only way that you can really help somebody is by inspiring them with your own attitude. Because I think the best thing you can do to help somebody is not to completely cut them off, but to just continue to grow along their journey and allow them to witness your growth and evolution. Because they're either going to fall off or they're going to be like, I need to bring my shit together. But either way, you're going to be an important lesson for them. And I think that's the best way. And that's just what I've learned from my journey. Is the best way to really truly help somebody is just by being an inspiration based on your own growth and your own journey. You can't necessarily put anybody in a position because they don't have that mindset that you have, or they don't have that capacity to grow and expand further than where they are. And so trying to put them in your shoes is just gonna do more harm for them and you too. So the best thing to do is just inspire them through your own personal actions and your own personal growth.
Yeah. Well, that's real.
Yeah, so how about, okay, so like you said, allow them to watch you grow and whatnot. My thing is this, like once we get to that point where, well, see, my problem is I will get to that point and it's like it's a cutoff. You get what I'm saying? Like, because I just said, like, I always went to the point where I was so hurt that it ain't nothing we can do. Like, friendship over. And they can't watch me, girl, because I done blocked you. My block game is strong. Once we fall out to the point I know is no repair, I just go ahead and block you. Because me personally, I'd be like, I don't want you to watch my blessings. I don't want your negative energy trying to, you know, feed off onto me. But now that you said it like that, you know, even with friends I have now, I could look at it that way. Like, let me just step back and allow them to grow and watch me grow while going through it.
One thing I always live by is, like, as you're evolving, your evolution, nobody should take your evolution personal. Just be like, look, I gotta evolve, but you're more than welcome to get involved. But if that's not the type of time you want, then our connection is gonna naturally dissolve. Because when people are, I'm kind of quoting the song too, it's like, what's in the way becomes the way, right? So naturally, a lot of people are going to either gravitate toward you because they want to grow because they have that within them, or they're just going to naturally fall off from you. So they're going to do the work for you regardless. Their job is just to make sure that you are constantly in position, because can't nobody do anything in the world to block your blessing, because anybody that attempts to block your blessing is essentially blocking their own blessings, because it's like, you can't stop God's work. Like, what? Who you think you is? You gonna stop God's work? Nah, bro. You can try. Like, good luck. But you only gonna hurt yourself in the end.
And that was, I think, one of my realizations that I came to, is that I had to recognize, and I think us as, like, light workers, us as healers in whatever capacity we are, the very in tune people, I think, as being the light, right? Like, dark is attracted to light, right? Like, even the mosquitoes and all that stuff, like, they're attracted to the light. And I had to recognize, like, I think I was, like, looking to get a lot from certain relationships. And I think it was just this expectation, for whatever reason, that I created. But I had to kind of recognize that a lot of the people on my journey aren't necessarily meant to, like, be pouring into me. It's for me to plant seeds for them, whether they start healing now, or it's something later on that I said in years later, or, you know, some type of connection that was made for them. And I had to recognize that that's honestly, like, that's kind of what you're here for, right? It's to plant seeds. It's to be that little, you know, that little whisper for people that eventually will become loud, and will, you know, eventually when they get in whatever, you know, life experience or transition, that they'll start to, it'll stimulate their growth, and, you know, their momentum will be had, and they'll be on their own journey. But I used to think that, like, this means that it needs to happen in real time, and that's not the reality. But I also think, outside of friendships, right, I think a big part of that too is family. I know, ooh,
family can be your biggest, hurdle. Let's say it like that. Family can be your biggest hurdle, in all aspects, in different aspects, because you come from them. But then, doesn't this kind of play into when they're healing, when you're healing and they're not? Doesn't that play into, like, the generational curses? To where you're starting to break them, that means you're healing from it, and they don't want to heal from it. They don't think there's no curses that need to be broken.
Yeah. I think there's multiple parts to it, right? Because even as we break generational curses, I think there are some family members that, yeah, like, it don't mean nothing to them. They still see problems. And then there's ones where you heal those generational, I like to call them generational patterns, rather, but when you do, and then it kind of creates the template, because I feel like some of the, like, older generations, whether it's our parents, grandparents, sometimes, like, that, they just never had an example. They never had, excuse me, like maybe, healthy relationships to see, like to help navigate that. Like they were treated like crap when they were younger, or they were silenced when they were younger. They were suppressed in some way, shape, or form when they were younger. So they just kind of repeat the pattern just because they didn't have it. So I do think, there is sometimes, again, that's the same thing. Like sometimes they, like their healing journey may start 5, 10 years later, versus like as you're learning the things and bringing things to light and stuff. Because I know for me, there was one thing I used to, that whole saying about like what stays in the house or what happens in the house stays in the house type of thing. And
Yep.
I'm like, now you like, I will never ever say that. Like ever say that to my children. Cause I just remember, like, I mean, I just got to this point where it was just like, so we keep like, why? You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly why this pattern of like sexual trauma or whatever got like, this is why it keeps happening because we're not speaking up. So why are we keeping this in-house when we can't fix it in-house? We gotta outsource. We gotta outsource some help here. And, but again, that was the way, the older generations, the old heads, like they're bit very big on that, right? It's about loyalty, and that's the thing we see a lot in society. I feel like it's like we really like put on a pedestal this idea of what loyalty and stuff looks like, whether it's loyalty to family, to friends, to your job, to whatever, right? But it's like it's just another form of self-abandonment at the end of the day. Like we're sacrificing ourselves and our peace and our mental health and creating, like Alexa was talking about earlier, like dis-ease in our body because we're not speaking up because what happens in the house stays in the house. And really what that means is like we just don't talk about it, right? We don't talk about Bruno. Like that's what that means. Not, oh, we'll keep it in-house and we'll talk about it and solve it within our four walls here. It just really means like we're just on the hush hush and we're
Brought it up. We're not talking about it no more.
time will heal it, right? Like, and we just ignore it. And that is so unhealthy.
I think that, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I think that at some point, like our family members become our greatest spectators, because no matter what happens, the one thing you cannot stop is evolution. Like, no matter how stuck in your ways you become, no matter how strong your beliefs are, you have to evolve. And if the evolution doesn't happen with our parents, it happens through us, and we become the example of what it means to evolve. And therefore, they have to watch that. No matter if they agree with it or disagree with it, they see something working for you. And I think that just us existing and having these conversations and thinking the way that we think is a generational curse breaker. Like, it's nothing fancy that we really have to do other than just existing, because our existence, we see greater meaning in our own existence than our parents or our aunties or our cousins or our sisters. We see the bigger picture. They don't see it. But again, they're the spectator. They're the ones that are gonna see it. They're gonna see it through you. And even if they don't understand it, they're gonna see something's working. They don't get it, but something is working out for you. It's like, dang, when you keep getting blessed, no matter what you went through, like we all went through the same trauma and drama, but you just seem to be growing and getting better. Your skin looking good, you're healthy, you're eating good. Like, they're not gonna ask what you're doing, but they're curious as to what you're doing.
Right.
So again, they become your greatest spectators.
But they watch it, like you said, they watching the whole time.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think one of the things too, I think for me specifically, I recognize like the lines sometimes got blurred. Like that is when I truly got, I mean, I think I've always had it because I always like, even when I was a kid, I just remember like the biggest thing, I just wanted to make other people not feel the way I felt, like whether it was unseen or unheard or misunderstood or, whatever the case may be. And as I started like being intentional on my healing journey, like I really started going into more of the like the roles of being the fixer and the people pleaser in the sense of like trying to be the listening ear for other people. 'Cause it was like, oh, we all need that safe space and stuff. Like just not having boundaries myself. So even as I was healing, for a time, it kind of came like kind of counterproductive because I'm like, oh, I'm so enlightened now. Like, I can be able to support you and show up for you and all that stuff. But I wasn't to this the level where now I feel like now we can have boundaries with it. But I really got into the like fixer mode and also just the lack of boundaries and not feeling like people knew that they could come to me for support and for a perspective shift or potential solutions. And I was here for it. Like it gave me a sense of purpose. And I think that's where like lines got blurred for me as I started to like be intentional on my healing journey, you know?
Yeah, I can relate to that for sure because I think I always also gravitated towards being like around people who could utilize like my assistance and like my insight. And it kind of like would give me like a good feeling to help them, not realizing that's me pouring out my cup and not getting it refilled. So it's like when you are consistently pouring from it, you know, your cup and you're not refilling it, you're eventually going to get on E. You're eventually going to be empty. And then you can't pour from an empty cup. So I realized even like when I moved away from like my friends and I'm in a new environment in a new area, I kind of like had expectations that I wanted my friends to kind of be what I had always been for them. And I thought, okay, well now they can be that for me because now I need it. You know, I'm feeling more like isolated and lonely and I just had a baby and you know, like I realized I had put that in, you know, expectation on them and I expected them to pour into me. But it didn't happen like that. So I realized I was like, okay, that's not necessarily what friendship is even about. So maybe I should start, you know, protecting my peace and not always being the one who's, you know, pouring into them. Like maybe I should be more so putting in place boundaries, especially in terms of you don't have to always be at everything that someone wants you to be at. You don't have to always be what someone needs you to be in that moment. I always felt like I had to. Like I would feel extreme guilt. Like, oh my gosh, I can't show up for them. Like I feel so bad. Not realizing these same people won't be there for you if they, you know, not intentionally, not from any ill will, but just because they're more so doing what they need to do for them. And I realized like that's what I need to start doing. And it doesn't make you a bad friend if you do that.
Absolutely. And that's such a good point. I think that's definitely something that I think a lot of us like kind of have to navigate as we, you know, are on this journey. And I think one of the things too is like recognizing, like, I think it wasn't as clear as it is now. Like now we can kind of navigate a little better and understand when maybe there needs to be, excuse me, like a boundary or when we need to just kind of disconnect from somebody because when maybe just fully the relationship does not serve us, right? And it's not out of spite or anything, just like, hey, we're just not in alignment right now, where we are in our lives. But I think in the beginning, I didn't have that clarity. So I will say, like, that's one of those things that you have to navigate and kind of reflect on. Cause I think for me, I had that same thing where it was like, oh, again, that's where it led me to being passive aggressive and resentful. Cause like other people aren't showing up for me the way that they weren't being a me to me, you know? Like, and I needed that. And at the end of the day, like I sometimes had ended connections or, you know, was really just feeling some kind of way for a long time because I'm feeling like you're not showing up for me. You're not being a good friend or good family member, whatever the case may be. But it was really, I had to reflect and realize that part of that too was my fault because guess what? Some of them people, like the level of audacity that people have, like I think a lot of people like just really underestimate that, right? Like the fact that somebody's friend, like I know y'all got family or friends that's never afraid to ask you for money, never afraid to ask for help, right? Like, easy. And even though, like, somebody asked, the thing is, that doesn't mean you have to provide it, right? But at the end of the day, it was just the fact that they asked. And here I was, again, wanting someone to be me for me because I seem, I think, due to honestly, like my childhood trauma, I became hypervigilant. I was very hyper aware of my surroundings. I could see because I always wanted to, like, it was control, really, but I could see, like, it started with my parents, like, especially with my, mother being like bipolar and stuff. I could see things come down the pipeline. I'm like, oh, if that happens and then she's gonna react that way, it's gonna like trickle down and like the whole house is gonna be like, it's just gonna affect everything. I had this type of brain that could see that, like the kind of background process that happens. And so I became hypervigilant to try to prevent people from feeling a certain kind of way or for certain outcomes to not happen. And I was expecting everyone else to do that. So I would show up for people and support even before they asked. Like it was just like I could see it coming down the pipeline. Hey, I could support you in that. Right. And then I would expect that from other people. But at the end of the day, I wasn't asking for support. So I was just, it was really just in my head that I'm at war with myself because, hey, these people aren't showing up for me when really I just need to be asking and being clear. Because I think that was like my number one thing in romantic relationships too, was that I just thought you should know, like
Right.
me, right? Like we, like you should know that I need support in this, or you should see that I'm frustrated or flustered right now or overwhelmed. Like
Help me.
you should have the solution, right? So I think that was one of my things, was like just not being clear on that. And at the end of the day, I was causing my own chaos.
I can see that though. I had to learn to stop seeing, looking for me in other people. On top of that, us not using our voices causes more damage than anything, not only with our health, but mentally, like, 'cause you really feel like, yo, you're here. If you're this close to me, you should see me declining. You should see a difference in me, and you ain't saying that. You don't care. I can't lie. I'm right there with you. I held so much resentment against so many people because it's like, I see me. You don't see me? You don't see I'm suffering? And then it's like, but when I would look at people and see that they're hurting or something, I'm like, I have to be, what is that? Fix it, Felix. Like, let me just fix it. Let me fix it. But then again, when it came back to me, it was never that. But then again, like you just said, that's us. Did we open our mouths and say something for one? Did we never voiced it. So you can't get mad at somebody for something you didn't voice.
Right. Yeah. That was definitely a major life lesson for me, is that one, you can't be mad at someone for doing something you wouldn't do or not doing something that like either way, you can't be mad at somebody for not being you.
Right.
And honestly, if you I feel like if you have that thought, if you're like, "Uh, you're mad because somebody did something that that you're like, why didn't they do that? Or why did they do that?" I think if you're having those types of thoughts, that's like an automatic check-in to yourself, because where am I not having the boundary? Like at the end of the day, because if you're feeling that way, then really it shows more about you than them. Because people are going to be who they're going to be. And like they say, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Like, we can't be mad at somebody for having autonomy.
And believe them the first time, though. Don't wait. Stop waiting. We wait so much for somebody to show us they don't care. What are we waiting on? Believe them the first time. Like my father always said, if somebody tell you they're crazy, believe it. Did anybody just going around saying I'm crazy as a joke?
And then so What about, do you guys have that? Have you had that where you started to get more like self-awareness and everything in like romantic relationships? And it seemed like it wasn't, the other person wasn't on the same wavelength.
In romantic relationships, it was. But at the same time, I must like amusement parks. Because I ignored every single red flag. But again, it ended with, but still, we were not on the same wave. We wasn't even on the same wave. Okay. But again, I can say for until probably like last year, I always kind of played small. I always just conformed to what people wanted me to be. Or even though I knew I was healing, I would always go back to the old me because, well, I don't want to lose my friends. And they were my friends when I was acting like X, Y, and Z, So every time we do one of these conversations, it literally have me sitting here thinking, like, dang.
That's what they meant to do.
I literally used to perform, and I used to be real, this past 7 months, I finally realized and learned who I really am as a person. Like who I am, not, what I made myself be for other people.
That's real. And I mean, I think the same. Like, for a long time, like, if somebody had asked me who I was, I would have definitely started listing off titles and roles. I'm a mom, I'm a, entrepreneur, I'm all these things. And now it definitely has shifted, where, like, yeah, like, I have a better understanding of who I am outside of all those things, outside of what I do, who I am, and how I show up. And I think, honestly, this conversation I feel like speaks to really like just being more aligned and being more intentional in our relationships. I think overall, the reason why I know, at least for me, because I never went into relationships intentionally. Like it would just be like, oh, we got together from this. Like we were in this same type of, honestly, like probably trauma bonds and stuff like that. That's why I like connected with some of my like older friends or met them at different transitional times or like just hobbies and stuff. But I think it's so important to have this foundation of like aligning our relationships with our core values. Because I think if you have that, even if, people have different belief systems or whatever, like it's not about that. And that's what I think more people need to recognize. Like, I am close friends with somebody that's like a hard churchgoer. You know what I mean? Like, and even though I go to church, I don't necessarily go every Sunday, but I'll go whenever I feel called to, type of thing. But just because we may have varying in like beliefs or how we believe or whatever the case may be, doesn't mean that we can't have a good connection. We don't have a good friendship. It's really just the underlying values that we like connect with, It's like the characteristics, how we show up, like who are you when you're going through life, right? Are you going to turn up into that like like are you going to turn into like a petty person because life isn't going your way, or are we showing up like, all right, no, we're going to figure this the fuck out, like type of thing, And I think if we really look at our relationships and base it off of vo those values, like it can help us to navigate some of these relationships a lot better. I mean, of course, family, you don't get to pick those. So, there is that. So there's still going to be work to be done. I think family is always going to be one of those core wounds that it's going to be a constant evolving and processing that's happening in that. But I think overall, like it's really just connecting with people and seeing how we can serve each other, like rather than going into relationships like, hey, how I can help you with this. But like how can this be a mutual exchange? So yeah, I mean, and did you guys have anything like as far as like work, has that showed up for you guys at work either? Like, well, not either, but two.
Not for me. I'd be Work for me is I don't see nobody because I work from home. It hasn't though. But after any job I've ever worked at, I've always been like the one who just want to make everybody happy type of person. Like I just want you to smile, whatever. So it was never like that. And the people I connected with at jobs, like we're still cool today. Like, so it's never a they wasn't healing or anything. It was we have really watched each other go through different phases of life. Some of the roughest times in our lives, we've been with each other. So I haven't had that experience at work. Thank God. Let's keep it that way. Because it hurts.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, when some of those relationships have to end and or when they kind of slowly fade, I feel like I found that too with some of these relationships. Either way, it's painful. There's a grieving process to it. But I think one of the shifts that I had is recognizing like when those things happen, because a lot of times I had relationships. I mean, you still had to grieve, but like I almost felt a sense of relief. It did end, like whatever, like due to some like extreme situation. When some of those relationships ended, I was kind of like, oh thank God, like because at least like this was again when I didn't have boundaries. It was like I'd rather something happen to end the relationship rather than me actually set boundaries. And but either way, again, you still have to grieve it because a loss is a loss, right? Whether we are glad for the loss, whether the loss is the best thing that could have happened to us, it's still a loss. But rather than seeing it as just a loss, one shift for me was also recognizing that you're realigning. You are like, you're getting closer to the version of you and, the life that really is meant for you. Because some people we do keep around for longer, and I think for more validation purposes or to help us feel better about ourselves. I know for me, like if I felt like I could be fixing you, then I ain't gotta focus on my own shit. So it became, a mechanism for me to kind of like feel like I'm doing something with my life. It made me feel valuable to essentially be a people pleaser and self-abandon. That wasn't focused on me, I'm focused on you. So I think just recognizing that some of these relationships have to come to an end and it's not a loss. It's more just us becoming more in tune with really where we're supposed to be going. Because sometimes I feel like God and, spirit just moves us and sometimes has us like abruptly end some of these connections to serve our greatest good, because we might be holding on to those relationships for that loyalty aspect, right? Just like feeling like, oh, we go back so long that we need to stay connected. Like we're family, so we need to stay connected. Like, no, and this is why I say it, and it could be, I guess popular opinion, but anybody can get fired. I don't care who you are in my life, like hell, I damn near fired myself.
Listen.
Different parts. Like, listen, it's not just family and friends sometimes that we get sick of. It's
And
ourselves.
we get sick of ourselves. We get tired of the same mundane things that we do.
Yeah. So, yeah, like anybody at whatever stage, I don't care how many years y'all have known each other, but anybody can get fired.
What they say, like anybody who catch these hands, when certain people say that, anybody can get fired from my life. I'm not fighting, I'm not arguing with you. I don't care if they call me weak or nothing. I will just disconnect from you before I do anything to disturb me fully. Bad enough, I already have bad anxiety and stuff, so it's gonna always be on my mind pondering or something. So it's like, you gotta go. I'm HR around here. I'm the H BIC, baby. And
Yeah.
it's gonna just have to stay that way.
And I think that definitely comes, that's when discernment really comes into play and knowing when to exile people out of your life. Because I think a lot of times we will convince ourselves to keep people there that don't need to be. And a lot of times people aren't aware of what discernment is or like, what that may look like. And once you're like in tune with what you need and what's best for you, are like, is this person adding to you, or are they, for some reason, it's always something that you have to forgive. It's always something that's like causing you stress, anxiety, stress. Like, that's the sign. Like, okay, maybe it's time that we separate. So definitely, I definitely think, like, even with work, that comes into play. Like, when it's time for you to move on, or that discernment.
I mean, Dad, I moved on from a job so fast it ain't even funny. This is the first job I held down for a whole year and forever. But they don't get on my nerves, so don't matter.
But that's so true, and I think it also speaks to, just especially when it comes to like family and friends, that you can still love a person, but just outgrow the dynamic that you have, because I know certain relationships that I had, like, we connected on basically like, oh, these men ain't shit, and like, da 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 da, like, type of connection. Like, we just, that was kind of the gist of, or in like just partying and clubbing and stuff like that. That was like the gist of it. But of course, then as I shifted, like, that didn't resonate for me anymore. And then I started like learning, and I'm like, okay, we're talking about these men, but what about you? And starting shifting that. So then it no longer resonated to be like, oh, these men. It's like, okay, but what can we control, like, type of thing. And I know it's like so cliche, like, what's within your control type of thing, but it's so true, But it's like, you can love people but still kind of outgrow like how the dynamic is. And one thing I will say with that, I've actually had, even up to recently, like, connection, like, I have one of my best friends, and I had to have a real conversation with her. I'm like, I feel like things have shifted with us. And, I'm in this space of like just focused on my business and, of course, family and stuff, but like, I'm really just like honing in on, speaking and coaching and all of that. And I think I recognize, like, I'm like, I started to feel some type of way. And rather than staying in my feelings and not speaking up and saying anything, I like voiced my concerns, because I was like, I've noticed this like shift. It didn't feel like, I was like, what's where are we? Like, what are we doing right now? Like, I felt like, how you ask guys, like, so what are we doing?
All right,
Like,
what do we call?
like, where are we going with this? And I think that is conversations that, like, at least for me, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but like, in my younger years, I ain't never heard of nobody having conversations like that with people. Like, where's the trajectory of our relationship going? Like, let's recalibrate right now. I didn't have that. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't have conversations like that growing up. So that was definitely a win to like, to actually like have a real conversation about like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. And normally I would go to being avoidant or just kind of like falling away si silently, like that meme that's like you fading into the tree. Like, what is that? Oh, type of thing. And no, like, let's face things head on. Let's talk about these things. Let's talk about the uncomfortable truths, because like we all feel it. Like, we know when the energy shifts in our relationship dynamics, I think. But a lot of times, at least for me, I used to just stay feeling some kind of way, and then I would just ruminate in it, and I'm like frustrated, and I'm like dealing with this chaos by myself rather than just talking to the very person that I needed to talk to address it, to get clarity on where we are, what we're doing, and again, just like recalibrating our relationship.
Sometimes all it takes is a simple conversation. But even going back to our topic today, with when you're healing and they aren't, sometimes a conversation ain't even needed. Like, sometimes it literally just gonna take you, like, you know what? I'm gonna step back. And as Palize has said before, like, it's either gonna, the relationship will grow, or it's gonna dwindle away. And we just have to take it as that and keep it moving. Unfortunately.
And I think I used to, and I definitely agree. Like sometimes it does require us to just, like it's more about execution rather than, conversation. And I will say, I think now I'm in a phase more of like talking about things because I also recognize that sometimes it's a matter of, again, planting the seed for people. 'Cause there's like a lot of the people, especially women, I hear it so often, is that women are like, I've had so many like toxic friendships and betrayals and all these things. And I think a big, and hey, Lakeisha, a big thing is that like we don't have open discussions about our relationships again. And I think with that, like people are so used to just like, yeah, up and leaving. And like, honestly, we're all afraid of abandonment, at the end of the day. Like, nobody wants to feel that. But I think that's a very common thing nowadays in society. It's like people just, oh, I feel some kind of way. I'm leaving this relationship. I don't need you type of energy. And they just back out. And I think I'm recognizing that it really can. And again, this is not to say it to speak my truth so that somebody else can shift per se, but just saying it so that, hey, maybe this can plant the seed for them to, because maybe they didn't even recognize this was that the dynamic. They're so used to kind of just being in a state of like just being on autopilot in relationships that they may not even recognize like the things that are toxic, the things that are not working, the dynamic that you see as like the main issue. So I think that's kind of the phase that I'm in because it's like, okay, they may not even know. They could, but they may not. So like actually having conversations to address it, I feel at least for me has been that's the season that I'm in. Like, let's talk about this because I think that's the usual go-to is like, let's not talk about it and let's just let time go by and feel some kind of way. And the conversation, I mean, the relationship just gets to a point where it could be beyond repair when we could have potentially resolved it.
But then you know there's some relationships that just like ain't no need. Have you
Yeah.
ever felt that? Yeah, like some relationships is like you want the closure, but it's like at the same time, for what? You hurt yourself trying to get closure, baby. And you don't need that.
But I think that's the thing too, is like if I think I'm gonna have to make a post on that because that really hit. Because I'm like, honestly, I feel like if we're looking for closure, then we're already in the wrong headspace. Because I don't think anybody can really give you closure except
Can't
you.
like give you that.
So I mean, I will say that, like if you're thinking that you need that to do that, then yeah, it's you already need to check yourself at that point, you know? Because even if somebody gave you an explanation, or hell, I mean, they could always respond very negatively, right? But even if they gave you an explanation, that's not necessarily closure. It's the story that you tell yourself that's going to help you to feel better in whatever decision you're making or whatever. You know, it's not anybody else.
Lakeisha's right. Closure is definitely a false sense of hope we have that it will work out. Yeah, and it's like you hurting yourself. Me personally, I can say that. I used to hurt myself like I just need this conversation for closure. Maybe I don't care. No. It happened. It happened the way it happened. And it is what it is.
And I think, honestly, I feel like when I was looking for closure, I was more so looking for them to make a decision for me. Because I knew it was either the relationship is working or it's not, right? Like, but I was looking for closure to have another conversation to see where they're at, to maybe hopefully like help them, like help me make a decision on do I, you know, are we gonna stay connected or, you know, or not? And essentially, like, I feel like if you're looking for closure, you're essentially just giving your power away. 'Cause again, what can someone give you that you can't give yourself?
Nothing but a headache. You can get yourself dead, baby.
Listen, I could do bad all by myself,
Okay.
but ain't.
No, because you're in the season of greatness. You're no longer in the season of, oh my God, my mind is real blank. I've seen a post about it earlier. Now I have to go find it. But this is a good conversation because a lot of people don't never have these conversations. You're in your commission season. You're no longer in then a season of just building and being open about it. You're living your commission season, like, all right, this is what it is. I'm about to go get it. And you
Yeah.
keep it moving.
No, that's real. What y'all take from that?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that sentiment for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely think these types of conversations, I mean, we do this all the time on this podcast, but I definitely think it needs to be more like we need to have these conversations with our friends. And this is why I always, I really would like, I love and appreciate everyone, we love and appreciate everyone that joins and engages with us, but a big part of this too is like spreading these types of conversations. Because again, at least for me, I didn't grow up with this type of community. I didn't grow up with having these type of like high level but like personal communities that are safe spaces. I grew up with like kind of saying one thing, and especially when it came to family, and then knowing that one thing you say to somebody else is going to come out of somebody else's mouth that you never told, and just not having safe spaces, let alone, I think, these level of in-depth conversations. So, it's so important for us to like, to share this with people, like let them know, like we do this every month. And of course, we still have episodes in between that where you can catch us on all platforms, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, because this is literally what we do. We talk about these types of things.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think what is it for next month, which I should probably have already had this up as far as what the date is, which I will look in a second. But we wanted to do, we had last season, in our first season, we had an episode on, it was like talk your shit. And I think that's what we said we was gonna do next, because I think it's so important. I'm in the season of having a level of audacity. Okay. I think the people that we now, I ain't trying to get canceled. I don't care if I am, but at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of us, like whether you agree with Trump or whatever, listen, the way I see it is this man has a level of capacity that most people don't reach. The level of his, like, I don't give a fuck about, like, he has the capacity to have people talk about him online, in person. Like, obviously, people whose opinions, like, like, but he don't care. He's still gonna be him. Kanye's still gonna be Kanye. And I think a lot of us are afraid of that level of audacity. We don't have it. Like we just, and I think that's the season that I'm in. So I think it's just only right for us to talk about that on the podcast. As far as like talk your shit, like who are you? What business you have? What are like, shout yourself out. And I think enough, like we don't do that enough. I think we sometimes get into this like autopilot in life because we're business owners, we're, parents, we're, partners, we're all these things. We play all these roles and have all these titles that we forget that we're the fucking center of the universe. Like, you are the star in your show, you are the sun in your solar system, So I think that conversation needs to be had as well. So if you are like, if you've ever found yourself like shrinking in rooms, and maybe not even like boldly like that, but maybe you had an opinion or you had something you're like, oh, I can improve this, but you didn't. You didn't speak up. Or, maybe you find yourself like you have a business, but maybe marketing is your thing because it's like, oh, I don't want to stir any, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to cause any like friction or anything with people. Or maybe you've you're a content creator, and like it's, I don't want to post because what if who's gonna, whoever's gonna feel some kind of way or have some opinion? Like, whatever it is, right? I think this is a conversation again that needs to be had because we should all be able to talk our shit about who the hell we are.
Freely at all times. Because even with the content, like touching on you saying a content creator, like being on TikTok, it's like I've noticed you'll get more people in your FYP page that's all about the drama. And those are the ones who, that's who people are gravitating to.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, we don't gotta make none of that mean nothing for us, And I think that's I always remember the analogy about like the boats and stuff. Like boats don't sink or ships don't sink in general because of the water around it. Water's always around it, right? But it will sink because of the water that we let into this ship, into the boat, And so this is again just speaks to the boundaries and all of that. But even when other people are about drama, again, and we're healing and others aren't, like this is when we need to take radical accountability for ourselves and our energy and where we are and set boundaries. Like, you know what? I'm not available for this conversation, or I'm not going to engage with that. Or maybe we just move silently and remove ourselves from the room, whatever that could look like. But at the end of the day, it's on us. It's no one else's responsibility to be or not be anything for us but us. I hope that made sense what I'm trying to
No, it
say.
made sense. We always got to show up for ourselves, but I mean, at the end of the day, we have to show up for us at all times.
Yes. So next month, that would actually be May 7th, where we will be talking your shit. Like, this is where we can hype ourselves up. I think celebrate one another in a safe space and share wins and lessons and things that we do for ourselves. And, maybe something that we do for ourselves or a lesson we've had can help someone else, And again, I just want to, I'm grateful. I'm sure D is too for
Very grateful.
everybody that has engaged and joined and, been in the room and showed up because this is our passion. We love this. We love these conversations. And special shout out to you, Alexa, for showing up early.
Thanks. I'm getting better with time management.
That's that lawyer energy.
I
That 40, that 40 under 40.
that part.
Period.
Yes, so I certainly hope to see you guys again next month, April 7th at 7 p.m. Eastern, to have another high-level conversation. And for anybody listening into the recording after the fact, certainly would love to see a takeaway that you got from this episode in the comments. And please, again, like, share, subscribe, repost, whatever the case may be, and share this with somebody else because, again, more of these conversations need to be had. Okay? Okay, great. I'm glad we got that out the way.
Definitely tell a friend to tell a friend to come join us. That's all you got to do.
And all you got to do is text the word podcast to 833-459-4201. And you can actually be subscribed to get updates for the monthly live episodes that we have. And also get the link for how to connect with us outside of this as well. And yeah, I mean, outside of that, the only thing I gotta say is stay triggered, y'all.
Every time.
When we're triggered, that's when we can see what area we need to heal in and do better and improve ourselves. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good night.
Y'all too. Good night.